out this morning, and as usual recently, we're going to be a little bit all over the place, and so I gave you as much as I could there on your handout. And if you don't have one of those, Brother Daryl's going by right now. He can get you one of those if you let him know. Recently, we've been talking, the last month or so, I guess it would be, we've been talking about a new series we've been titled Searching. People are searching for things in their life. People are searching for things that they're missing and things that the world promises and yet somehow never really ends up fulfilling. And so they look for it. They look for it in a lot of different areas, and they look for a lot of different things. And the last thing we talked about, the last month, we've been talking about peace. People are searching for peace with God. They're searching for peace in their relationships, peace in their family, peace with their friends, peace in, amongst those that they live nearby. People are searching for peace in their heart. Though there might be peace around them, a lot of times there is a disquietedness in their own soul, and people are looking for something to satisfy that. People are searching for peace in our world. That's why people protest and riot and legislate, because we want to have peace around us, and we're trying to produce peace. And peace, as we talked about, is only found in Christ. And no matter what area we're talking about, no matter what application of peace we're talking about, it's always related to the influence of Christ, because we do not produce peace in ourselves. But something else that people are searching for, which is where we're going to start this morning and talk about for the next couple weeks, something else that people are searching for is joy. People are searching for joy. You walk around our society, you walk around, you go to Walmart, you just go to work, and people have a complete lack of joy on their faces. They don't enjoy their life. They don't enjoy the world. They spend their time searching for something that will bring them joy, and yet they're always sad, it seems like. They always have some reason to not be happy. And we're going to differentiate between happiness and joy this morning. But in the Bible, the word joy comes from several different words that are used throughout the Bible. But honestly, the definitions of the word joy are very obvious and very simple. But I'll give them to you. It comes from a word that could mean gladness or pleasure or glee. A lot of times it comes from a word that means to rejoice. I joy in something, which is associated often with a sound or a shout or a clamor or an acclamation or a song of joy. I thought this was really funny. I found one word that the word joy came from, and it actually meant to hurt somebody's ears. Because you shouted so loud for joy, you hurt those around you with your amount of joy. Anyway, it means to brighten. And and there's also this word, which I had no idea what it was. I'm probably not going to say it right. Blithesomeness. It's a really old word. The word blithe literally means indifference or carelessness. And so to be blithesome or blithesome is to be to live life without a care. And the idea behind that joy is that it was independent of the circumstances. There may be cares around you, but you still have a joy without those cares. It means cheerfulness. It means delight. It means a calm delight. It also means to be well. Like if somebody walks up to you and says, "How are you doing?" You say, "I am well." Those are where the words joy comes from. But what's really interesting is as I looked at all of those, most of the time the easy definition that came up for the word joy was just joy. And then later on it would say something else. And you know why that's why I think that's interesting? We hardly need to define the word joy, because we know what it is. And we know whether or not we have it. We can see it in other people, and we hardly need to say, "What is this joy that you're talking about?" We know what joy is, but people don't have it a lot of times in their life. We don't really need to define joy, because a lot of people know when it's missing. But God, and this is where we're going to start today, is the source of your joy. Just like God is the source of peace, God is the source of your joy. And we should take great comfort in the truth that God is our source of joy, because the only way that God can be the source of your joy is if he wants joy for you. Otherwise, you would never get it from him. And so let me ask you this question this morning. How full is your joy? How full? If you were to imagine that your joy is in a cup, how full is it? That's actually an illustration that the Bible uses when David says, "My cup runneth over." Have you ever met somebody that they were always smiling and you hardly had to say anything funny. Like you said something that was kind of halfway humorous, sort of, and then they just started laughing, and you started laughing more at them laughing at your joke because you didn't even think your joke was funny, but you appreciated the fact that they laughed at it. Have you ever met somebody like that? Have you ever met somebody where it doesn't matter what you do? It doesn't matter. You could be watching the funniest show, you could be listening to the funniest preacher, you could be telling the funniest joke, and you might get them to crack a smile. And those people you actually feel a little bit successful. Have you ever noticed that? When they laugh at your joke or they kind of chuckle at you, you're like, aha, I got you to laugh. Look at that. Know why you feel successful? Because nothing gives them joy. Hardly anything can get them to run over because their cup is very empty. Those people whose cups are very full, it doesn't take a whole lot and it overflows. Let me ask you that question then again. How full is your joy? The Bible says that through Christ we can have joy. And depending on what we're doing with Christ is going to change how full our joy is. So we're going to talk about a few truths about the source of our joy this morning as an introduction to searching for joy. So first of all, and we already said a couple of these, but I want to mention them again. Everything I get from these, and I took all the verses that I thought were pertinent to this lesson, and I put them all in an order. So this is all from the Bible as much as I can. So number one, God desires joy for you. God desires joy for you. It is a desire for the Lord on your behalf that something that is produced in your life is joy. Just like he desires for you to have peace, he desires for you to have joy. So stop blaming God that he's the source of your lack of joy, because God's desire, his want for you, is that you do have it. In John chapter 17, Jesus has just finished spending several chapters talking directly to his disciples before he was about to go away. In 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, he's explaining to them why it's good for them that he goes away, that he's going to send the Holy Ghost to come with them, that he's going to go and prepare a place for them. But then in chapter 17, a lot of this is about Jesus praying to the Father certain prayer requests on behalf of his disciples. He's praying for them, and we get to listen in to what he's saying. And in chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus says, "And now I come to thee," Jesus talking to the Father, "and these things I speak in the world." Why? Why did I do that? "That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." I came and I spoke this to them so that they would have my joy fulfilled in them. That's why I came. That's one of the reasons. He came to die for our sins. He came to give us away into heaven. But one of the things that he came to purchase and one of the things he came to teach was to have his joy in us. In 1 John 1, it says this, and there's a whole passage right around this, but in the middle it stops and it says, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." We're giving you these things so that you can have joy. So when you ignore these things, you lose joy. But my desire for giving these things to you is so that you'll know what joy is like. God doesn't give those things to you and tell you those things to make you miserable, even though we think that sometimes. When God gives us a command or gives us an instruction, he's saying, "I'm giving this to you so you might have joy." We and Satan will quickly turn this around and say, "God's giving this to us so that he can put a burden on me." But he's giving it to you to have joy. My wife loves sale shopping. I was talking to some folks about that. You already know that too. I've already said that before. She likes to find sales. It's gotten so bad that some of the happiest times I see her now is when she comes home from the grocery store and she was able to stack several apps and several coupons on top of each other and then find this item that we've never thought to buy before in our entire life, but it was free. So it's okay. And that's some of the happiest times. And now it's now bled into her social life. So we'll go into church and she'll talk to people, "Hey, how was your week?" "It was good. How was yours? By the way, I found this sale at Walmart. Let me tell you how I did it." And then she'll share it with them. Now, why? Because she's excited about it. But she also shares it with them because she says, "If you do this and this, and you do this and that, then you can also get the cream cheese with the French onion taste and with the crackers for free down in the yogurt aisle there. You can do it too, and she'll tell you all about it. Now, the reason that she does that is because she's found it, and it's given her joy, and she wants you to find it as well. So she tells you how to do that. The Bible tells us all those things because it says, I'm giving this to you because I want you to have that also. I want you to have joy. So we have to color everything that the Bible says about joy in light of the fact that God wants it for you. Nothing he says is to take away your joy. All that he says is to give you joy. So number two, God desires joy for you, and joy is found in God. It is found in him. Now see, we're all sitting in Sunday school, so we're all in that church Bible mode, so we know the answers to all of these. Whether or not it gets home is the difference. Where is my joy going to be found? It will be found in the Lord. A lot of people, a lot of Christians will nod to that, and they're like, okay, let's move to the next one. I got that one. But then when they go home, they try to live their life finding joy somewhere else. They will go a different direction and wonder why they're not finding it. I use this example all the time because we all think this way. If I told you I wanted to go to the Galleria Mall, I would tell you to go down to 30 and go east. Now, somebody might be listening to that and say, well, that's very narrow-minded of you to think that the only way I can get to the Galleria Mall is to go east on 30. If I want to go west on 30, I should be able to do that, and I'll still be able to get to the Galleria Mall. Well, you can go west on 30 if you want to, but you're not going to end up at the Galleria Mall because that goes a different direction. And a lot of people look at the Bible that way. God says, if you want to find this, this is the way that you go. And it says, well, how narrow-minded of you to say that. Well, you don't have to go that way, but you're not going to end up where you're looking to go. Pastor's been talking about that the last couple Sunday mornings. The Bible says that joy is found in the Lord. Romans 14 says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not the things of this world. It's not the desires and wants of this world. It's not even the needs of this world. What is the kingdom of God? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You may not have all kinds of things, but through the kingdom of God, you can have righteousness, and thereby you can have peace and you can have joy. It's found in him. We're going to elaborate that a little bit more on the next one. This is an obvious ramification of that truth. That was a short one. But this automatically comes out of it. And I think if we get this is simple, but if we get this, a lot of our searchings for joy will be made a little bit more simple. The closer you are, number three, the closer you are to God, the more joy you will have. Based on what the Bible says, those two things will go together. If God is the source of joy, the closer you are to the source of joy, the more joy you will have. See, the thing is, what we try to do is we try to separate our lack of joy from our life and our relationship with the Lord. We try to talk about those things as if they are completely independent of each other. But if God is the source of joy, the closer you are to him, the more joy will come out of that. When Esther was looking for a place to go to college, she was looking up in Canada. She went for her first 2 years at a college in Toronto. And on our way up, we went up to visit as a family. We stopped by the Niagara Falls because it was right on the way. So that was cool. And we went into Canada, and we were able to see it from the other side, which I think is supposed to be the better side, but depending on which state you ask, is going to debate about that. But we were over there, and we were looking, but it was during winter time, and so it was really, really cold. And so when we got to Niagara Falls, it was something I've never seen before, because Niagara Falls is still falling, but then all the mist would come out of the falls and then would land on everything on the terrace and would freeze because it's winter. So every single surface was covered in like 3 inches of ice. Everything. So you had this railing, which was covered in a perfectly symmetrical circle full of ice. You had this tree that was probably about 20 feet away from the railing, and the entire tree was covered in ice, and it was like swooshing sideways, like something straight out of a movie. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. Now, as we started to walk away from the railing, we walked towards the shops. It was just normal snow and ice on the ground. There wasn't that mist from it. There was less ice the farther away that you got from it. But the closer you got to the falls, the more it just fell on everything and covered everything in its influence of the mist. The thing is, that's the way God's joy works. The closer you are to Him, the more it just comes on you. That's where it comes from. The more it lands on you, the more you see it around you, the farther away you get, the less evidence you see it of even being there. And a lot of us are looking for joy and walking away from the Lord and wondering why there's no joy falling in their life. There's no joy coming on in their life because they're walking away from the source. Let me give you a few verses that prove that. Psalm 89. David says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, because they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Let's give you the next one, Psalm 16. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." But aren't there certain circumstances in my life that might make joy kind of leave, regardless of whether or not I'm close to the Lord? Let me give you one in Psalm 43. He says, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." He says in the next verse, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." So why is he telling him not to be cast down in his soul? Because he had a circumstance that would cause his soul to be cast down. But he says, regardless of that, I can go to God, who is my exceeding joy. So he could have exceeding joy in light of things that would cast his soul down, because the source of joy wasn't his circumstance. The source of joy was God. So in spite of that, he could still have exceeding joy while he's simultaneously reminding his soul not to be cast down. But aren't there times that I can spoil the presence of God and it's no longer joyful? For those people who are living in sin and living in problems and living in things that they shouldn't be living in, when they get closer to the Lord, it's not as joyful as it should be. Well, the Bible addresses that. Psalm 30 says this, "His anger endureth for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." When you feel like God's presence is not joyful because of the way you've been living, you get close to him, you fix it, and then joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for a night. His anger endures for a moment, but in his favor is life. We can still find joy in the presence of the Lord. The longer you're closer, the closer you become. And the closer you become, the more you rejoice in the fellowship and the more joy that you will have. In 1 John 1, I already gave you verse 4. He says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you," these things, the things about having fellowship with the Father, and in a minute walking in the light and knowing him and having a relationship with him, you ought to. "And I write these things to you," verse 4, "that your joy may be full." So if your fellowship is not what it should be, then your joy will not be full. If your fellowship is, and we listen to the instructions of having our fellowship right with the Lord by walking in the light instead of in darkness, then our joy will be full. So if we know all that, how does that manifest itself in our everyday life? What do we know to do in our relationship with God that we're not doing? And every one of those things that we know to do to grow a relationship will rob us of joy. If you know to talk to the Lord throughout the day, or at all, for that matter, and we choose not to, we're choosing not to come close to the source of our joy, and so you will not have joy. We separate those two things. How can my prayer life have anything to do with my joy? Because the closer you are to the Lord, the closer you are to the source. We don't take time to praise him and spend time with him and spend time with those who love him and wonder why our joy is gone. We have an infinite amount of wisdom from God in our hands, which we try to look at every Sunday morning. And they're at our fingertips. and it's giving us all the treasures of wisdom and godliness, and he tells us that he's given these things to us so that we might have joy. But the more untapped we leave it, and the less we understand about God, the less better off we are. And later on in our life, we're going to look back and realize that we had the source of joy at our fingertips, but we chose not to tap it. And that's why we don't have it. God is the source of our joy. I'll give you this one just for the sake of, because we're here. Eventually in heaven, I think this is telling. In heaven, there will be only joy. And the reason there will be only joy is because there is only Christ. And there's nothing that competes for his favor or competes for his influence. That's why he says in Matthew 25 to his servants, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over much. Enter thou into the," what does he call where he will be with him? The joy of the Lord. He labels his presence as the joy of the Lord, as a place. And when there's only Christ, there will only be joy. So the more there is only Christ in your life, the more joy you will have. The more there is things competing with the influence of Christ, the more there is things competing with your joy, and the less joy you will have. The closer you are to God, the more joy you will have. Number four, so we should rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. One of the ways that you can draw close to the Lord is to meditate on him. See, I think rejoicing in the Lord is that one's an action. That's a purposeful decision of something to come out of you, to decide to joy in who he is. That's what rejoice means. It means to joy in something. I've told you these past few weeks that as I've been talking about peace, that I'm a thinker. It doesn't mean that I'm smart. It just means that I think a lot. I can't help but replay conversations and listen to the messages that I have preached and thought about how I should have said something different or think about what I'm about to say next week. I can't help but run the list of things I have to do in my mind. Every morning, as soon as I become coherent, I think about all the things I have to do that day. Our fellows are going to come by. If you could drop your attendance slip in the offering plate, we would appreciate that. And the more I think about the things I'm building for a vacation Bible school, the more I think about the things I have to make sure are done before tomorrow, the more it will stress me out. Because you meditate on something, the more it influences you. See, the thing is, the more you meditate on the Lord, the more you think about who God is and the source of joy, the more joy you will find in that. That's what rejoicing in the Lord is. I'll give you a couple of the ones that says this. We've heard this before. Psalm 21. The Bible says this, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." Psalm 32 says this, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 42 says this, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone from the multitude, I went from them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. I joyed in the presence of other people who joyed in him. And when I joyed and I rejoiced with them, it gave me joy as well." We ought to meditate on who God is. It will give us joy. If you think about what God has done for you and stop thinking about the things that God hasn't done for you that we wish that he had, or things that he's blessed other people with that we wish that we had been blessed with, or things that we are uncertain about and we're wondering if he's going to take care of. If we actually think about who God is, it will give us reason to joy. The Bible says we can find joy in meditating on our salvation. Romans 5 says this, "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." He says that he has given to us salvation. He has reconciled our relationship, and we can joy in that. But if we're not joying in it, we're not thinking about who he is. And the last verse I have there, in the nation of Israel, they had returned from captivity. They had been out for 70 years, and then God had brought them back. And they're back in their land, and they spent an enormous amount of time worshiping God. They spend a lot of time repenting of their sins. They spend time learning about him from their word. And then they all get together and they keep a feast. And they keep the celebrations in order to remember who the Lord is and what he has done for them. And this is what it says in Ezra 6. It says this, "They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy." For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. They spent time meditating on who God was. They kept that celebration so they could remind themselves about who God was, what he had done for them, and God had made them joyful because they had spent time with him. And he was the source of their joy, and so the more they spent time with him, the more they rejoiced in him, the more joyful God made them. Rejoice in the Lord. Number five, how else can we joy? Where do we get joy? Trust. Trust in the Lord. The longer you meditate on the things that are changeable, the more your joy is contingent on your circumstances, then the more fluctuating your joy will be. Because things, if your joy is contingent on changeable things, then your joy will change with it from day to day. That's why we say your joy ought to be the same, even though happiness and sadness might kind of come and go. Joy should remain the same because our joy should be found in the Lord. The more you meditate and trust in the Lord that never changes, and the Lord has been so good to you, the more reason you have to joy. And the Bible talks about that as our trusting in him as well. Romans 15 says this, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He will fill you with joy and peace while you are believing. As you believe in him, you trust him that he fills you with peace and he fills you with joy. Psalm 5 says this, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." If you trust God, you put your faith in him, you put your trust in him, you allow God to be in charge of your circumstances, and you know he doesn't change, even though the circumstances might change, your joy can remain the same. Some of you are trusting in your circumstances, and it's weighing you down. That's why your joy comes and goes. That's why sometimes when you come, you wake up in the morning, you are joyful, because you have reason to joy. Your work's going okay, and you really don't have any reason that anything's falling apart that day. Your family's okay. You don't have any kind of problem that you're dealing with. There's no bills that are necessarily unpaid right now, and when they do come, you know that you can pay them. Everything's okay, and so when you get up and there's nothing looming over your head any more than usual, there's nothing else weighing you down, and so you get up and you smile and it's a good day, and you can say hi to your friends at work, and you have a smile on your face, and everything is great. And then next week, however, it doesn't take long. All of a sudden, a bill had come since last week that you weren't expecting, and something had happened at work that you really disliked, and then something happened in your family that you have to deal with, and now you have that project that last week seemed really far away, but this week it actually seems a lot closer than it is, and so it's all looming over your head, and you get up in the morning and you're like, I got to deal with all of this, and you lose your joy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Am I the only person who's ever done that? Okay. And you lose your joy because we're trusting in something else. We're trusting in me. We're trusting in the circumstances. Something else is the source of my joy, and when those things change, my joy changes as well. But when I trust in God who doesn't change, I can still get up in the morning and know he's still on the throne and everything, and he will still take care of me. He'll still provide for me, and if I'm close to him, my joy remains the same. We have lost the art in Christianity of trusting in God. Too many people are answering our questions. Too many things are accessible at our fingertips. The world has given us too many helps that we really can take care of ourselves, and we have learned to do that. And so that's why our society has lost joy, because we have tried to grab everything in life and take a handle of it. I think when those who had less control over all their circumstances, they had less knowledge, they had less ability to take care of everything, had more joy because they had to just trust in God because they really couldn't try to wrap their arms around their life. And we're trying so hard to handle everything that we don't trust in him, and we lose all our joy because of it. Last one, and we'll be done. Other joys are temporary. Other joys are temporary joys. I felt like I needed to address this because some of you are thinking, okay, this sounds great, It does. And I get you. I do. But I can tell you of times that I have been joyful, and it really hasn't had anything to do with spirituality or with God or with Christ or with the Bible. And you're telling me that God is the source of my joy, and everything else won't give me joy. But I've been joyful before without him. So to what extent is that true? The Bible does address that. Because as I was saying a minute ago, our joy should not be changing from day to day if it's close to the Lord. If our joy is changing from day to day, then that means the joys that we are experiencing are very temporary, and very conditional, and very shallow. They're very quick to be fleeted away. They're very easy to be stolen, because what they are standing on is not very solid at all. Our real joy comes from the Lord, because if it's founded in the Lord and he doesn't change, then it stays continuous. But without him, they're temporary. They're not unchangeable. And some people would not even really define them as joy. But that depends on your definition. But let me give you a couple of them. The Bible addresses this. In Job chapter 20, he says this. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth? You've known this since the beginning of time. Everybody knows this. That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. So here he addresses that there are people who will joy in things, but it does not last long. The Bible says fools find joy in folly. It says this, the folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. You read through Proverbs, though, and you find the end of the foolish person is not very joyful. The life of the foolish person does not bring joy, but he finds joy, though he is destitute of wisdom. He'll find temporary pleasures and joys in something. And as you read through Proverbs, you'll find that to be true. And one of the greatest examples, and we'll be done with this, one of the greatest examples of temporary joy is, I think, to be Solomon. I preached a message on Ecclesiastes before and talked about all the things that he says. And I really believe that what he's telling us is absolutely true. Sometimes the way he phrases it may not sound right, but he's telling you from a certain perspective, and it's true. Solomon spent his life, if we know who he is, the son of David, one of the richest and wisest kings that ever lived, definitely the richest and wisest king in the nation of Israel, and he had whatever he wanted, whatever he wanted. He had, if he wanted a wife, he would marry her. If he wanted another one, he would marry her. If he wanted 700, he would marry her. If he wanted animals from halfway across the world, at that time, where you had to get on a boat and go and travel for months and come back, then he would get them. And so they would come back with peacocks and gorillas and bring them back to Israel. Read it. It's in the Bible. He would go get gold and silver. The Bible says silver was not even accounted for in those days. It was barely worth anything, because there was so much gold and precious jewels that if you had silver in your pocket, you basically didn't have any money. That's how much he had. He had anything. And the Bible says that he tried to find joy in that. And I could read the whole passage, but for the sake of time, I'll just read a couple of the verses at the end of that statement. But you can go back and read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. That's saying a lot, you have to admit. How many things have you wanted that you were like, well, I can't afford it? And they weren't bad, but you're just like, well, I can't get that, or I can't do that, or I don't really have time for that. I'd like to, but I can't. He says, whatever I wanted, I didn't keep for myself. If I wanted it, I could get it, and it was easy. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Anything that would give me joy, I would take it. I would get it. I would buy it. I would purchase it. I'd bring it into my house. My heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. So he had joy. His heart rejoiced in what he did. And what was the next thing that happened in his heart? Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and all the things he had joyed in, and all the things he had rejoiced in, and all the joys he had added to his heart. And he says this about his joys. Behold, all was vanity, which means empty, and vexation of spirit. He was vexed in his spirit because he added joys from the world. There was no profit under the sun. He tried everything. He tried money. He tried work. He tried alcohol. He tried women. And you go down through the list. Anything that you think that any person has ever labored to do in this world that they to get something, he had all of them. Whatever joy he wanted, he didn't keep from himself. And he says about his joys that they vexed his spirit. Because other joys are temporary. Wisdom from the Bible will eventually dictate to us that the temporary joys that we experience do not last, and they are empty. Real joy is found in him. And the farther away from him you are, the less joy you will have. And a lot of us are sitting in church this morning, and so we agree with that. When you go home and you don't have joy, what will you try to find it in? Because what you will try to find it in will show us what you actually believe is the source of joy. Or else you would run to the real source, which is the Lord. Remember when you lose joy that it's found in Christ. Everything else will go away, but his comes in the morning. All right, let's pray. Thank you for listening this morning. We'll have a couple quick prayer requests from Brother Daryl, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for giving us joy, desiring joy for us. And Lord, knowing that there's so many things that you ask of us in our lives, and sometimes we may feel like it's too much or you're asking too much, but we have to remember that the things that you say to us put a protection around our peace, and they put a wall around our joy so that we can have what you desire. But Lord, the farther away from that we go, the less what you desire for us, which happens to be what we're looking for, the less of that we have. Help us to believe that you really are the source of joy and peace. Lord, I pray that you be with these many prayer requests we're about to hear from in just a moment, that you meet those according to your will. We pray this in your name. Amen.